Look at somebody, say, get ready for the supernatural. Woo, Jesus. Come on, come on. I need you to get your faith up. Need you to get your faith up. God can do it, you know, far beyond what you imagined, far beyond what you thought, far beyond what you got money for, far beyond what you got credit for, far beyond what you got connections for, far beyond. God wants you to live a supernatural life.
Get ready for the 2017 Direction for Life Conference, November 8th through 10th at Right Direction Church International. Guest speakers, Bishop Joseph Garlington, Bishop Joseph Walker, and Bishop Michael Blue. Musical guests include Miranda Curtis, Lisa Page Brooks, and Anita Wilson. General sessions are at 12 noon and 7 p.m.
Heading in the right direction.
Today's message is Increase, Influence, Impact by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Luke, the second chapter in verse 52, and it reads, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And our theme for this conference, which I'm starting off right now, is increase, influence, and impact. Everyone say increase, influence, and impact. Now, this tells us, first of all, that Jesus increased. He increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, and he increased in favor with God and man. And as a result of each of these things and increasing these areas, Jesus had increase, influence, and impact. I want you to understand that Jesus, first of all, when we talk about increase, you can also put a slash by there, income. Amen. So we're talking about incomes. Everybody say income is all right. So Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Jesus had income. Now, a lot of people have a problem even conceiving of that Jesus had income. Jesus had sufficient income, finances, money, capital, etc., to complete his assignment and to do everything he needed to do. Now, you don't need all the money in the world, but you do need money to do what is your assignment to do. Amen. That's why I tell y'all, see, you know, if all you have is one child, you don't deserve as much money as those of us who had four. We got a bigger assignment. Somebody said, that devil is a lie. Okay. But God will bless you in accordance with your assignment. Now, Luke 8:3, somebody said, where'd Jesus get income from? It's right there in the Bible, Luke, the 8th chapter, and verse 3. It says, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. Everybody say many others. So I want you to see it was Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. They ministered to him of their substance. The amplified of that verse said they ministered to and provided for him and them, because Jesus had a team of 12 men, okay, who were married, had children, had businesses, had employees, and all these now become part of Jesus' assignment when he told them, follow me. Now, how many of you can just lay down everything and follow somebody? And if you're a man worth your salt, you're concerned about, well, I have wife and children to take care of. Well, so did Jesus' disciples. And now they become part of Jesus' responsibility. And so he had to have sufficient substance, increase, income to not only take care of himself, but also the men that were following him to make sure everything was taken care of at home. Because it is the word that says if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. Amen. So they had that. And so the amplified that verse says they ministered to and provided for him and them, meaning his disciples, out of their property and personal belonging. So God gave Jesus favor so that these women and many others gave to him out of their substance and of their substance so that he can have sufficient resources to complete his assignment. Are y'all with me here? So Jesus had income. Secondly, I want to see Jesus had influence. Anybody say influence? Jesus has so much influence that John 12 and 19 says that the Pharisees said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing?" Look at this, John 2, 19. It says, "Behold, the world is gone after him." Now, y'all know most of the folks had probably never left Galilee, Nazareth. But they said the world is going after him. Because it was so, Jesus had so much influence that wherever he went, people came. People were excited he was going to be there. People came and listened to his words. They were bypassed breakfast, lunch, and dinner and just listened to Jesus and follow him. When he wanted to get away, he had to get in a ship and go to the other side of the sea to get away from. Everywhere he went, crowds were drawn. Jesus had influence. And then thirdly, Jesus had impact. John 21, verse 25. I'm giving you these scriptures, but I'm moving quickly because y'all know I got a lot of them, right? John 21 and verse 25. Jesus had impact. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one." He said, we tried to write everything he did. "I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Jesus had so much impact. They said, "We're just giving you a summary. We're just giving you highlights. We're just giving you headlines of the things that he did," because his impact was so vast and so great. If we attempted to write the full impact of everything, it said all the books in the world couldn't contain it. Couldn't contain it. Someone say that's impact. So the same thing that was on Jesus, God wants to be on us. The Bible says, as he is, so are we. Where? In this world. So if Jesus had income, influence, and impact, and if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, then I should also have some income, some influence, and some impact. Because I want to be like Jesus. How many of y'all want to be like Jesus? We sing a song, yeah, to be like Jesus, how I long to be like him, so meek and lowly, so humble and holy, how I long to be like him, to walk like Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, if you want to be like Jesus, you need increase, you need influence, and you need to make an impact. First of all, I want to tell you that increase is the will of God for your life. One of the principles I teach is that faith begins where the will of God is known. It is hard for you to have faith for something that you don't know is the will of God for your life. So you need to first know it's God's will. Otherwise, you will short circuit things that I say and things you will hear in this conference. If you don't believe it's the will of God, first of all, for you to have these things. Say that. Say it's the will of God for me to have increase. Say increase is the will of God for my life. And throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God keeps telling his people how he wants to bless them, how he wants to increase them. Deuteronomy 1:11 says, "The Lord of our God, of our fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you." So in Deuteronomy 1:11, we hear about God saying he wants to bless us 1,000 times more than we are. When God blessed Jacob and gave him a God-given idea how to become a more successful rancher than his father-in-law and uncle, the Bible says in Genesis 30 and 43, "And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants and men servants, and camels and asses." He increased exceedingly. Everybody say, God wants me to increase exceedingly. Exodus 23:29-30. Now God gives us a little more balance. He says it may not all happen overnight. Okay? Stop going out trying to hit the lottery. I know it's real tempting. I had to bind the devil myself. When I recently heard you can do it anonymously, I didn't know that. I said, get behind me, Satan. Because one of the things that always kept me from even considering it, I said, now what am I going to look like? Pastor Bailey, Pastor Right Direction, just hit the lottery for $100 million. Now that I come to think about it, I don't care what I would look like. I just thought about it. I really wouldn't care. But I used to think, why am I going to get on this? And then I recently heard you can be anonymous. I said, oh, sookie, sookie now. Maybe we can work this thing out. But that's not the will of God for our lives to try to do things in get rich quick schemes. The Bible said when you hasten to be rich, he said you're not going to prosper. So Exodus 23 and 29 and 30, God tells his people how he's going to do it. He said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to increase you. He said, but I'm not going to drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Now, it can happen in 1 year, but by and large, as a rule, everything is not going to happen in 1 year. He said, I'm not going to drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. In other words, God says that you need to be able to handle what I'm going to bless you with. So he says in verse 30, by little and little, I'm going to drive them out before thee until thou be what? Increase and inherit the land. So you need to understand, as God is blessing you, the kingdom of God, the Bible says, cometh not by observation. And so when these what looks like little things start happening in your life, you need to start giving God praise and start saying, it's working. It may happen $20 at a time, $10 at a time. It may happen a 2% raise year by year. But when you see it happening, you got to say, God's increasing me. It's happening, maybe happening little by little, but I'm in increase mode right now. Say that with me. Say, I'm in increase mode right now. Come on, say it again. I'm in increase mode. Say it again. So you got to know that God's increasing you. I don't care what it looks like. God's increasing you. I often tell our story when Pastor Marcy and I started out, you know, in our marriage and I was assistant pastor of a church that one of the churches that just give you titles, was no money came along with it, praise God. You know, and you just did everything because you were doing it as unto the Lord. And I was working my job. And I remember I went from 18,000, our taxes were. And then next year was like 18,500. I said, babe, we increasing. And then I looked up and I saw that a family of three, we had the time, we had family that had one child, you know, a family of three. I think the poverty level was something like $22,000. I said, babe, God gonna bless us. We gonna get over this poverty line. Glory to God. And then when we get to 22, then she have another baby. Knock us back down under the poverty line. But I said, baby, you got to work with me here. I'm trying to get us out of poverty here. Why you keep having these babies? You know what I'm saying? Now the poverty line for a family of four is something like 24,000. And then the God increases. And then she come out with another baby. I said, come on, baby, work with a preacher. And I remember finally we got over the poverty line. Are you hearing me here? And then and I just started giving God praise. It didn't all happen at one time. And see, that's why some of y'all need to thank God. You know, some of y'all, we go crying, talking about I had to take money out of my savings. You need to run around the church because you got a savings. Come on now. I remember when there was no savings. I remember when a flat tire would put us back for about 3 months. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But God will increase you more and more. Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 13. God tells his people, I'm going to increase you. So he says, when thou art has eaten and are full. Somebody say this. Say, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. So God said, when you increase and when you're full. I know it may not look like you're eating all you want to eat right now or what you want to eat. And it may not look like you're full right now. Glory to God. But God says it's a matter of when. When you have eaten and full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. And then he gives us a warning. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really can't relate because God's been so good to me. That's why I tell these same stories over and over again, because I can't forget where God brought me from. Hallelujah. I can't forget when I was preaching this same message with holes in my shoes. I can't forget when back in the day I was wearing a suit like this here and I had to keep it buttoned because all my lining was shredding. But I was up here preaching, God will supply all your needs. Are you hearing me here? And so I can't forget, but I've been pastoring long enough and I've seen folks that God brought from nothing and blessed them, and now they don't come to church anymore because they're too busy washing what God gave them. They're too busy administrating over the business that God blessed them with, and they forgot how they were unemployed. So God says, he said, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God and not keep his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command this day. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and lest when you have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Somebody tell me, I don't have no flocks and no herd. No, you got cars. And you got houses, and you got investment accounts. You got 401ks and 403bs. Oh, you're hearing me here. He said, when those things are all multiplied, make sure you don't forget God. So verse 18 says, drop down, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I mean, everything you got, don't forget where it came from. It all comes from God. And why did he do it? He increases you so he can establish his covenant, which he swear unto your fathers as it is this day. Job 8:7. It tells us, though thy beginning was small. Everybody say was small. Most people misquote this scripture. Though your beginning was small, your latter end should what? Greatly increase. Not just a little bit increase. Though your beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. So watch it. Once you have begun, as I said, you're in increase mode because it said was small. So it, once you begin, it's not small anymore. You're in increase mode. Your beginning was small. Are you hearing me here? You're beginning. So until you begin, you won't stay small. But once you begin, now you're in increase mode. Though your beginning was small, the Bible says that the progression of God, the order of God, the will of God is that you should greatly increase. Psalm 115, one of the scriptures we quote all the time in this church. Psalm 115, 12 through 14. The Lord has been mindful of us. He's going to bless the house of Israel. He going to bless the house of Aaron. He going to bless the house of Herb. Anybody else's house he going to bless? You better put your name in that house. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, small and great. The Lord shall increase you. How? More and more. You who in? You and your children. I told you the first part, I had that. I got that one down packed. My children, I thought they were trying to break me. My wife had to help me. She said, Now, come on now. You got 15 pair of shoes and you upset that your son want another pair of sneakers. I'm like, but he don't have no job. And she had this. She said, now, don't you preach that scripture? The Lord increase you more and more, you and your children. So y'all need to understand, is something wrong with you look like you just came from the spa and your children look like an ad for Feed the Children. Look, your neighbor said, that's wrong. Lord wants to increase you and your children. Now, y'all ain't saying nothing, but if I was preaching this at children's church, the children be running around right now. Yes, sir. Tell them, Pastor. My mama don't want to increase me. He'll increase you and your children. New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. He that ministers seed to the sower is going to minister bread for your food. He's going to multiply your seed sown, and he's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness. New Living Translation, he will provide and increase your resources. Say, God will provide and increase my resources. Y'all understand? That's the will of God. That's the promise of God. You got to stand on that. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how small it may, how much you may be struggling right now. You got to stand on the word and say, God will provide, increase my resources. It says, and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. In other words, God will increase you so you can give more. Let me say that again. God will increase you so you can give more. And then you give more and God increases you. And God increases you so you can give more. It should be a non-ending cycle that the more God blesses you, the more you give back to him. Increase or income, it puts you in a position to have influence. Because it's hard to have influence without income. Now, you can disagree with me all day long. It is hard to have significant influence without income. You can have a great message, want to do great things, but if nobody knows about it, if you can't draw the attention you need, you can have a great business, and if you can't advertise it, a business with no sign is a sign of no business. So if you don't even have the income to get yourself a sign, you can be the best hairdresser, the best mechanic. If no, you don't have enough money to tell somebody that you're there, are you following me here? You can have skill and no influence. So income and increase is now going to put you in a position to have influence, because it's hard to have influence without income. Now, what is influence? Influence is the act or power of producing an effect without exertion of force or direct exercise of demand. So when you have influence, I don't have to yell at you. If I have influence, I don't have to threaten you. If I have influence, I don't have to put a gun to your head. If I have influence, there's something about me that makes other people want to follow, want to cooperate, want to do. Everybody say influence. It's the power, ability to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. And the truth of the matter is, everybody has influence on somebody. It's either positive or it's negative. Everybody has influence on somebody. The question is, how are you using your influence? And politicians, they go around and try to fundraise, and they tell their supporters that we need you to give to the campaign. Watch it. You'll hear this often during political, so I can get my message out. How many of y'all ever heard politicians talk about that? When the president, he said, we need to get this message out. Now, I don't know why we can understand that in politics and we can't understand that in the church. Because in order for us to have influence, we got to have the money to get this message out. Are y'all hearing me here? Right now, this message is going out throughout the world over streaming. And as fine as I am, they don't let me on there for free. They must not have took a close look at me, because I just deserve to be on for free. As shiny as my head is, they won't let me on there for free. So you need money to have influence. Everybody say, I need money to have influence. Now, you all know whatever I tell you, I back it by the word. Okay? Look at Ecclesiastes, 9th chapter, starting at verse 14. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14. It said, now there was a little city, and there was a few men in it, and there came a great king against that city, and he besieged it, and he built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it, underline those next three words, or four words, a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man remembered the same poor man. And then Solomon now gives us the principle that he wants to get from this. So then I said, wisdom is better than strength. And here strength refers to wealth. He said, wisdom is better than wealth. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Do y'all see that? It says, even though the poor man is saying the right things. That's why for years, and some of you can't relate, but some of us who from the, especially northern and northern cities and all that, and in the city, when the preacher stand there and he preaching the gospel, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but he looking raggedy and his clothes falling apart, and he got a bullhorn that just won't stay on because it needs new batteries. And then you got this other brother over here in a suit like mine with a bow tie, talking about bean pie, my brother. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Selling Muhammad Speaks, the Muslim. And folks lined up to see him because he looked like he knew what he was talking about. Even if you listen to him long enough, you realize he ain't making no sense. You see, my brother, see the white man, my brother, the white man was born in a test tube, and see, he was conceived. Like, what are you talking about? Many people here, yeah, man, yeah. Why? Because he looked like he's rich. In some kind of way, that's how natural people are. Because man looks at the, come on, man looks at the, that's what man looks at. And says, so the poor man, even though he's wise, people despise his wisdom. He don't know what he's talking about. The New Living Translation says, even though wisdom is better than strength, those who are wise will be despised if they're poor. They don't have the influence. What they say will not be appreciated for long. So God wants you to have influence for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. Say this, say, I need influence so I can expand the kingdom of God. So you need to understand something. Expect this. Some of you are already there, but some of you, the Lord told me to expect this, that God's going to strategically place you in positions and places just to have influence in the kingdom. That means everybody can't work for the church. That means you can't run away from the job because your supervisor sleeping with the person in the next cubicle. There are all these sinners up here. I just make me feel unclean when I come to work. You won't go around the office every day anointing everything with oil. And people wonder every time they touch their computers why they got oil over their computer. I'm just binding the devil. Sometimes your influence is not going to be oil, it's going to be your life. Sometimes your influence is going to be when everybody else cussing, you not cussing. Sometimes the influence is going to be when everybody's panicking. What we going to do? What we going to do? You got a calm spirit of assurance that I'm going to be all right. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed baking bread. Somebody say, God wants me to have influence.
Order these powerful messages today. Get the CD or DVD series or the digital download card. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for the Direction for Life Conference. Increase, influence, impact.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.